I'm Deborah Bowers, and we're here with Jim Thomas of Bel Air. We're at 2 West Spring Factory Road, and it's June 24th. Jim, you are called an ardent environmentalist, and you were nominated by President of the Harford County Council, Jeff Wilson, and your son, Gary Thomas. Were you born in Harford County? Are you a lifelong resident of Harford County?
Yes, I was born in a little town called Harford Furnace, which I'm not sure is even on the map, but it's south of Cresswell, and it was the site of an iron foundry back in the 1800s.
Huh.
And my grandparents lived there until they passed away in about 1940.
And who were your grandparents?
The last name was Oliver.
Okay, and they lived there in Cresswell.
Yeah, near Cresswell, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Goat Hill Road.
Goat Hill Road. And is that where you grew up?
Or? No, my parents moved to outside of Aberdeen, and then they moved up to James Run Road on Calgary. And I guess I grew up on James Run Road from maybe age 4 or 5 till I got married.
Okay, and you were born in on the 4th of July,
1919. 4th of July, 1919, a firecracker. And we always had a big 4th of July picnic at home with fireworks and just a big family gathering.
Uh-huh. Was it a farm where you grew up?
My dad was veterinarian, but he did have 10 acres. And he fooled around with one or two cows and a couple of horses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it was woodland and half was open field.
Mm-hmm. And you?
I had access to the woods from that place to what is now I-95.
Uh-huh.
And the woods today is practically intact.
Oh, really?
From that area all the way down to 95, Mr. Peverly owned most of the woodland.
Mm-hmm.
With a few other individual property owners on maybe 20 or 50 acres in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bordered by James Run, which still runs free and fairly clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, I spent some of my younger days fishing James Run.
Okay. What did you fish? Was it
They were little suckers and eels and catfish and stuff like that in it.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1936 or so, T.B. Gatch and Sons opened up a quarry at some distance away, and that deteriorated the water because they let a lot of stone and silt get into the stream.
Uh-huh.
And that filled in the deep holes, so the fishing decreased.
When was that?
In the 30s, late 30s and 40s.
Uh-huh.
There was also a grist mill close by that used power from James Run to operate the wheels.
Uh-huh.
And that burnt down in about 1949, I think, 48, 49, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh. A grist mill, and what did they make there?
Flour and cornmeal and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
ground wheat for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, most of the farmers are gone now in that area,
mm-hmm.
except for some grain farmers on James Run Road and Churchville Road, Route 136.
What, so you grew up in that area in the 20s and 30s. What do you remember from your earliest childhood growing up in that area?
I remember working in the summertime for some of the farmers. We had several canneries around there then, and I helped to pick corn, sugar corn, take to market, pick beans and tomatoes out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And as boys, we would maybe stick a stone or so in the bag of beans,
Should we pause? Okay. All right, we're rolling again. You were talking about picking things out of farmers' fields.
Corn, tomatoes, and beans were the primary three crops by the local farmers. Of course, we had a cane or packing house within a quarter of a mile of me. We had another one on Snake Lane, which is a couple miles away, and we alternated back and forth helping out. And we also would ride with the farmer to the Baltimore market with a load of corn at night, and of course they didn't start unloading until about 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe. And I remember being so sleepy one night that I couldn't remember whether I had 4 dozen ears of corn in the bag or 6. And then while we're down there, went to the down at the water, I guess, and the watermelon trucks were in there, so we all brought back a watermelon, which was a treat.
Mm-hmm. This was down by the Baltimore Harbor?
Yeah, where the harbor is today.
Mm-hmm.
They were interesting days. And, of course, we had the stream nearby, so the boys get together after working the field and go swimming.
Mm-hmm.
We had two or three holes that were 6 feet deep, at least I think they were 6 feet deep.
And James Run?
James Run, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were filled in later on by the quarry, so they ended up being a foot deep last time I saw them.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the canning facilities. They processed the food and then it was sold on the open market?
No, in the tomato packing area at Smith's and at Mitchell's on Snake Lane, tomatoes were brought in by various farmers.
Pausing again. Okay, we're back. The Mitchell's, is that the factory that made Mitchell's corn?
There was a Mitchell in Aberdeen which got the headlines.
Uh-huh.
Shoe peg corn.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the Smith Mitchell on the Snake Lane was, I don't know where they sold their corn. They stacked it in the warehouse someplace and then shipped it out later on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether it was shoe peg corn now or some other type of corn.
But it was sweet corn for human consumption.
Yeah. And all the tomatoes are packed the same way, put in the warehouse and then shipped out in cans. And the local ladies, and I don't know where they came from, but there were 20 or 30 of them in each canning house packing tomatoes. And the local farmers, I think, also came in and worked.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I don't know where they get the help.
Yeah. Now, was this in the 20s or the
30s? No, this was in the 30s that I recall, late 30s, 34 to 40. And, of course, the war came along in 41, so I left, and I think most of those places, both packing houses, closed up in around the early part of the 40s.
Okay.
And I don't know the reason why. I just like the little one outside of Bel Air closed up in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tomatoes also, and I think corn.
Mm-hmm. And farming changed.
It certainly did. Now we have a few cows and beef cattle around, and most of those farms are now have a few houses on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Smith area, a new gentleman came in and bought that. He's raising some beef cattle. And there are houses on Snake Lane. That hasn't been overly developed, but there are houses all along the road, so that there's not much room there for vegetable crops.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
There was a little school at Calvary, and that closed in 1931, I think. And I went to Churchill Elementary, it was a new school up there for 1 year, and then Bel Air High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent a couple of years at John Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. The school at Calvary, that's where you went to elementary school?
Yeah. I went there for 6 years, sixth grade.
Was that a, what?
That was a one-room schoolhouse.
Wow.
Divided not in half, but by the chairs. So the first three or four grades were on one side of the room, and the others were on the other side of the room.
So it was one teacher?
And there was one teacher at first, and then there were two teachers. And don't ask me their names.
And you went there from grade one through?
Through six.
Through the six.
And a big stove in the center of the room. Huh. A coal stove.
And this was located where?
On, I guess he called it Calvary Road, but I'm not sure. It was a dirt road then. Mm-hmm. And I think the road's closed now, and they made a new entrance when Gadget's Quarry opened up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure the building's still there. It was about 5 years ago.
Huh. Okay. And then you went, from there you went to Churchville.
Churchville for 1 year, and then Bel Air.
Churchville, what was it, a middle school? It would have been
Churchville
a high
Elementary.
School. Churchville Elementary.
That's what they called it then.
Uh-huh.
1 through 7.
Oh, okay. So you got out of 6th grade and did your 7th grade at that school and then went to Bel Air High School.
Yeah.
Which would have been the old high school where the...
Elementary is today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only 11 grades, not 12.
Okay. And that would have been... you went to high school beginning what year?
Started 33.
How did you get to school?
Oh, way back then,
mm-hmm.
we walked to the elementary school, and then they started a bus system, so they picked us up off of 136 and took us to Churchville. And then also the bus system took the students from their homes to meet a transportation bus run by Hopkins at Churchville, and we had to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
The county bus was free.
A bus run by Hopkins to go from where to
Harry where? Harry Hopkins Transportation Company.
Oh, I see.
They're out of business now.
Mm-hmm. So you rode from Churchville into Bel Air to your high school.
Yeah, and then we came back and met a bus at Churchville again, which transported us down 136.
Mm-hmm. And that bus took you to your house?
No, we still had almost a mile to walk to the house.
Uh-huh.
And nice thing about it, we had to help shovel snowdrifts off of 136 so the bus could go.
Oh, is that right?
All the local people around picked up the older boys and we went up, shoveled snow, 6-7 foot deep.
Was that a particularly big snow that you remember? What year was
that?
Yeah,
that was, I guess it was a big one. I haven't seen one that deep since. And they didn't have snow plows like we have today.
Mm-hmm. Was that in the 40s?
No, this was... 50s? This is why I was going to school, so it might have been the late 30s.
Late 30s, huh. Okay. What do you remember from high school? Any particular event stands out in your mind, or the way things were?
Gee, I can't remember any exciting events, except playtime, soccer and baseball. I had a collision with one of the boys and playing soccer and broke a wrist. And baseball, I can't remember anything outstanding except making a fine catch out in the field one day and then watching my cousin hit a home run. He played for Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great, even though Aberdeen beat us.
How many high schools were there then? There must have been just a few.
Aberdeen, Havergrass, and Bel Air, I think, were the only three high schools then. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all there were.
That's right. North Harvard wasn't built until 1950.
No.
So, But the school system was different then. I mean, they had smaller schools where you went through all grades, didn't you?
That was the area when they started to eliminate the smaller schools and consolidate them into, like, Churchville Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going on, and of course today we see a proliferation of schools all over the place.
Yeah.
They were good days, I think. You knew everyone in school, practically from grade, whatever it was, one on up. See, our high school class, I think, was close to 100 graduating, which was rather large.
Mm-hmm. At Bel Air, you graduated what year?
36.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 60 years ago. Gee whiz.
Do you go to your reunions?
Yeah, but most of them. We have one with class 35, 36 together. And we're due one in next year.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones I think I missed are the one I was out of town, vacation, something like that. And, of course, we have lost a number of members through death,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Tell me how you met your wife.
Oh, my goodness.
She was a St. Clair and lived up in the northern part of the county.
Yeah, and I didn't know there was a northern part of the county these days. Really, I was in the service at Aberdeen, and the USO brought girls in for dances on, I think, Saturday nights. And I met her there at the dance, and somehow or another, we double dated, and we took these two girls home from the Garrettsville area, and it just mushroomed from there.
It must have been a long drive from Aberdeen up to Garrettsville back then.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how far it was. It's 12 miles from Bel Air up there now, another 10 miles to Aberdeen.
And you didn't have...
Of course, I was in service, and we didn't have the gasoline or cars really then.
Uh-huh.
So, really, I corresponded with her during the service after I went overseas and came home and started the relationship again.
And
got
you,
married.
You went up to see her, and she was living on a farm, wasn't she?
She was a farm girl but didn't like the farm. And she was working in Baltimore for USF&D, so she had an apartment down there. So when I got out of the service, I met her most of the time in Baltimore.
Oh.
And after we got married, we had an apartment in Baltimore, and I went back and forth from Baltimore to Aberdeen Proving Ground where I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for a year or so, and we moved to Aberdeen, stayed there for a year, and then we built here at 2 West Ringbank.
Oh, so you've been here quite a while.
We moved in the house in March of 51.
Mm-hmm.
So this place is almost an antique, too.
Yeah. Tell me about when you began growing Christmas trees.
Oh, I really started as a conservation program. My grandparents had this acreage at Goat Hill Road, 3 acres, and I suggested let me plant trees on it. We would let them grow up for pulpwood and sell some of them for Christmas trees. So, I went down on a weekend and worked the trees. I sold trees there for a few years. And then the place was sold, and there was no market for pulpwood unless you had a truckload, and I didn't have a truckload.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The trees, as far as I know, are still there. They were a few years ago.
The ones that you were growing?
Loud Valley pine and some white pine. Excuse me. And a few years after that, my brother-in-law suggested that we get together and plant trees up on my wife's family farm.
On St. Clair Bridge Road.
On St. Clair Bridge Road.
And that's called the Jarrettsville Nursery.
Today, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we planted 5 acres, and 2 or 3 years later we planted 2 more acres, and it went on from there. And then I joined the National Christmas Tree Association, and that gave me a lot of experience and education. I thought I knew something about growing trees, but I found out that I only knew a little bit. Because it was a lot there to learn, even though I'd been working with trees for maybe 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it came to herbicides and shearing. Today, why we use herbicides quite extensively, and we shear with motorized equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we still use a knife and head shears on small trees, but the bigger trees we use the what they call the Beneke, which is a rotary knife system.
Mm-hmm. How many acres of trees do you have up there now?
Up there now is runs between 20 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
With all species. White pine, got rid of the Scotch pine, Doug fir, and we're primarily in the Fraser fir now with blue spruce, that's about it. We used to have Norway spruce, but they dropped needles, so we got rid of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a, well, the tree just never did hold needles too well.
Mm-hmm.
1 year you get the tree with no problems at all, next year why needles drop in a week.
That's not very good.
So we're on the sticking now with pun color fir, Douglas and Fraser,
mm-hmm.
with some small quantity of white pine.
And you operate that business with Charles St. Clair, who is your wife's brother.
And my son.
And your son, Gary?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a banker in Lancaster, so he can only come down on weekends, maybe in the evenings, to help out.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we hire additional help, you know, in the springtime and in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
for planting and mowing, because it takes more than two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's selling season, why we have 12 or 15 most all the time. Weekends, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And you open up about a month before Christmas?
We open up, presently we're open up day after Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Before it used to be the first Saturday in December,
mm-hmm.
to start with. But so many people are, they want their trees earlier because the business places, Kmart, over the mall, everything is selling Christmas items in November. And they've got people in the mood, and they think they have to have a tree up early.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you have to have a tree that holds its needles well, at least for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the firs do that, where the spruces will not.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about when you first, you were the president of the Isaac Walton League of America, the national president.
No, I was president of the Harford County chapter.
Okay.
And I don't know the year anymore.
66 to 68.
Yeah.
Oh, you were the national secretary, is what it says here.
Yeah, and I was elected national secretary. I was also national director from Maryland for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was national secretary for 2 terms.
Mm-hmm. So you've been involved with some environmental groups. You worked with the Maryland Environmental Trust Committee. You were on the Susquehanna State Park Advisory Board and the Bush River Advisory Board. Several other boards dealing with environmental concerns. Could you tell me what you think you've accomplished over the years serving on the boards and what you think needs to be done?
Well, I think we've made great progress in the environmental area since 1950, because I recall the roads having small piles of litter. Some of them were quite large, two or three truckloads. We got those cleaned up through the local Isaac Walton League and the county. And we had patrols who went out on the road, and we also organized road teams. So some person on each road was responsible for that road for cleanup week.
Mm-hmm.
So we've eliminated most of our roadside litter.
That was when you were chairing the Emerton Road Beautification Committee. That was in the late 50s.
Yeah, when this, what is now 924, was improved, slightly widened and straightened. Somehow or another, I got chairman of that committee to beautify the road by planting trees. So we planted oak, willow, flowering cherry, and I can't think of the other trees now. Some of them are, most of them are still there, by the way. Mm-hmm. The cherry are dying out, but the oak and some of the willow are 30, 40 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've had another road improved like that. That if it's any of it's done, it's by the state, you know, planting trees, not by individual citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But this is quite successful, because all the neighbors got together and everyone living on the road and donated so much to buy a tree. And even Warden Bosley was enthused about it when they were in the real estate business. They bought their own trees, white pine, forsythia, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee went through a nursery in New Jersey and bought the trees and had them delivered here, and the state highway people planted for us. We helped out a little bit, but most of the work was done by the state highway people.
I see.
So it was, I think it was a great accomplishment to see those trees planted on the highway, because at that time no one was doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There was some crab apple too planted,
mm-hmm.
flying crab.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Your other advisory boards brings you right up to the present time. You've been on the Susquehanna River Advisory Board. You've served on the Environmental Advisory Board of Harford County since 1987. Tell me about some of your work on that board.
We have on the advisory board for the county, we've primarily looked into environmental problems that the county was facing. Not only with developers, but with water and related environmental issues that the county was getting into with drainage from the streets. And we've not tackled anything with on state issue, that air pollution, anything like that. And with the legislation that the county has proposed, we've reviewed a lot of that, dealing with wetlands and the land use problems.
Reforestation.
Reforestation, yeah, we got involved with that on tree planting and tree bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been active in the PTA and the Boy Scout Council and a number of other things, too, I see. Tell me about when you went away to college, to Johns Hopkins. What did you study there?
Mostly business.
Uh-huh.
Insurance. I took insurance overseas too, believe it or not.
Huh.
While I was in South Pacific. Some engineering business from Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Took 2 years, that was all.
You worked at Edgewood Arsenal.
Yeah.
Right, and what did you do there?
I was with engineering at Edgewood and supply. Mm-hmm. And also standardization work with there was a new program coming in on cataloging and standardization. We were standardizing. You know, at that time, the Army was buying light bulbs and tools under various names and paying all kind of prices. So they initiated this program to try to consolidate their purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And we standardized tools and major equipment so that the Army, Navy, and Air Force were buying the same thing on the same stock number. And in some cases, you had identical items. So we were able to eliminate the expense there of one service buying from one company and paying $1,000 for it, and maybe another company getting it for $300.
Mm-hmm.
And that program went on for about 10 years. I think it's over with now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's pretty well, it's probably, they probably have a follow-up. I'm not sure. I retired in 77 and left the work at that time.
Mm-hmm. And you've been devoting your time to your nursery business and
I actually quit because I wanted to devote the daylight hours up there instead of maybe working in the evening until 10 o'clock at night and weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, since I retired, I find out I have time, but I don't get as much accomplished as I did before.
Uh-oh.
And I think everyone else finds the same thing when you retire.
Now, you've had this house since 1951, and now, back then, was this the outskirts of Bel Air, or?
Yeah, this when I moved in, this was a hayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ritson had the farm across Ring Factory, which was alfalfa and corn.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Worthingtons had the farm across, which is now a subdivision.
The Worthington, the newspaper family?
Yeah, the Worthington newspaper family. One of the boys had 100 acres or so over there, and that was all corn. So we looked out on corn and alfalfa in 51. And then a few years later, they started to build houses.
Mm-hmm. And so this was no longer the outskirts. You're practically in town now.
We're in town with a traffic light out on the corner.
And do you remember the racetrack and how things were back in the in the 50s?
I remember going to the fair and seeing the horses race over there in I don't know what years, in the 30s, I guess, in the 40s.
The Harford County Fair that was held at the racetrack in Bel Air.
Uh-huh. Great event.
That's where the Harford Mall is now.
That's right.
So things have really changed since 51. Do you remember what your daily or weekly routine was like in the 50s here in Bel Air? Where did you shop and what clubs you were involved with and what life was like in the 50s?
Gee. That's a good question. I didn't do any shopping. Well, I did a little bit more, I guess, than today, but everything was on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the mall.
There was the Acme on Main Street?
It was Acme, and Hershey's is still there. Lutz's is still there, but hasn't improved since early in the 40s. Everything was on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, back in the 30s, everyone went shopping on Main Street on Saturday night.
On Saturday night?
Yeah.
Grocery shopping?
Yeah, grocery shopping.
Oh.
It was always done Saturday night. And I worked a couple, I don't know, summers or Saturdays. Saturdays, I guess it was. There was a clothing store up there called The Hub.
Oh, you worked
there? That was a big store.
I remember The Hub.
And the hardware store, Cortland Hardware, it was on the corner of Cortland Street.
Right, I remember that. Corner of Cortland and Main Street.
Yeah.
And what did you do at The Hub?
Sold clothing.
Okay.
On Saturdays.
That was the big clothing store. Everybody went to The Hub.
One, yeah.
They had children's clothes and adults, too.
Everything.
And shoes.
Shoes also. They had shoe department.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what year that was anymore. Gee.
You only worked there a year?
Oh, I didn't work a whole year. I just worked on Saturdays, I think, part-time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, I may have worked there part-time after I moved to Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there part-time before that, too.
Who owned the hub?
Rosenberg, I think it was. They had a store also in Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
Also the hub. Two stores. And John Hubbell worked in there, I think, as one of the managers. And John now is working at Cortland Hardware part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember any other names that worked in there then.
There were a lot of other stores on Main Street that aren't there anymore. Hershey's is still there.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember what was across the street from the hub. But I remember there was a Woolworths there too.
There's a Woolworths below the hub, which is now an office building.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street was another clothing store. Can't recall the name of that. And the drugstore was a big place, Ritson's Drugstore.
Right. You go there for an ice cream or
And Preston
for
was
lunch.
Up the street on the corner,
mm-hmm.
beside Commercial Bank.
Where the Red Fox is now.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of changes.
A lot of changes. Well, were you involved in any community activities during the 60s or community associations?
Oh, we had something going all the time, I think, with communities around and conservation activities and programs like that. Some of them sponsored, initiated by the Isaac Walton League Lions Club. The Isaac Walt started the pier down in Hartford Glen, and the Lions came in and assisted with that the final days. And Kenny Graff and I were chairman of the finance committee, and we had to go around and get donations and raise money for build the pier. I think we got $15,000 or something like that to build the pier, and the gas and electric company donated the piling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness the pier is still there.
That's at Singer Road?
Singer Road, yeah, the Harper Glen.
That's right. Uh-huh. And that's a very popular place. They do a lot of educational work there now.
In fact, there's a picture here of the lake back in the 50s, I guess. Today it's practically a stream going through it. That's about it. All filled in with mud, trash, trees,
mm-hmm.
cattails. And I made a survey of that water at one time. It was 38 feet deep, I think, in most of the places. A little deeper down at the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I don't imagine it's over 2 or 3 feet. Most of it's filled in by Agnes in 72.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Just a shame. And we've tried several times to get something going, to have it dredged, do something with it. Each time, failed.
Well, was that a natural lake?
No, that was a dam put in by Edward Arsenal, the Army, in the early 40s for emergency water supply.
Oh, okay. And it was filled in mostly by Hurricane Agnes in 1972.
Yeah, most of it, Hurricane Agnes,
72. Mm-hmm.
That's when we had 9 inches of rain, I think, in June of 72, and mm-hmm. the paper this week shows the most rainfall in June was 9 inches.
That's the most it's ever been.
For the month of June,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Hmm. Do you remember when the Hartford Mall was built and all of the other shopping centers out on Route 1 and how that changed the town, how it changed how Main Street had been the center of town, and the center of town kind of moved out.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion of what this is going to do to the business on Main Street, and some of them were wanted to relocate, some did not. Of course, most of the merchants were opposed to it because they knew it would cut down their business, and sure enough, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And the merchants on Main Street, from non-existent today, mostly law offices and things like that up there.
Some of those businesses moved to the mall, and the ones that didn't went out of business.
Yeah, and the only one I think stayed on Main Street and is still existing is Hershey's.
Mm-hmm. What accounts for their success, do you think?
Well, it's small, and he has probably a good grade of material, clothing, men's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And with a family operation, he was able to stay on board.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only one outside of... Well, the drugstore, I guess, is still there and operating, but mm-hmm. they've changed hands, too.
Boyd and Fulford's, you mean?
Boyd and Fulford, yeah. Mm-hmm. Preston's, of course.
They moved.
Built a new building further down.
Still on Main Street, though,
yeah,
just
on
South
Main Street.
Yeah. This neighborhood that you are in was a new subdivision back then. Has this community changed a whole lot, or are your neighbors still the same as they were in the
50s? They haven't changed too much here. There's been a few sold, several have passed away, but most of it is intact. It was a piecemeal subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, of one house next door, and I built, and it just moved on down the line. Marshall Crowe built most of the houses on Ring Factory Road.
Marshall Crowe?
Marshall Crowe. He's mm-hmm. also deceased.
Mm-hmm.
He was a farmer originally.
Mm-hmm.
And the houses on the other side of the Ring Factory now have been built individually, but they're all larger and by different builders.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that, all that land was Dr. Lloyd Richardson's farm.
Dr. Lloyd Richardson.
He was the owner of the Richardson Drugstore.
Oh, he was.
Uptown.
He was a medical doctor?
No,
a
pharmacist.
A pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And so that was developed, and then the Worthington Farm was developed, and the rest is history. Now Bel Air stretches all the way down to Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Abington, rather.
All the way and beyond.
Yeah.
What was 24 became 924 because of the traffic, and 24 is also filled up with houses. And from there, it's just a mass of rooftops. From
yeah.
here to Churchville to Aberdeen. What are we going to do for open space?
I don't know. We're working on that. We're trying our best.
That was our big problem when I was on the park tour.
Uh-huh.
Getting open space in parks, and we got approval on some things. We got legislation passed for funding. Senator James introduced the legislation to provide so many dollars from each piece of property sold to use for open space.
A transfer tax.
Transfer tax.
Right.
And eventually that money reverted over to them using it for recreation instead of buying open space. Originally, we thought we were going to use it entirely for open space,
mm-hmm.
parks and open space. So now, we still need open space.
Right. You think the Bel Air area is really, there isn't enough park space?
I think they could use more,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think there's any yet. Opposition from buying land, it's just they don't have the money to acquire it.
And it's getting more expensive.
Yeah, and they've got to go out, and of course you need little parks close to the community.
Right.
Not one that's 100 acres 12 miles away.
Right. And that land is getting more scarce.
Yeah.
In the Bel Air area.
Well, thank goodness we've had a few people in the county who are willing to donate small parcels of land, like Joseph Unbarger, lived down 22,
mm-hmm.
donated the land where Bynum Run Park or pond is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved with helping to build that pond.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. We got Joseph Unbarger, who was also a member of the Isaac Wells League then, active in community affairs. He donated the land. We had the some estate personnel come out and survey it and dig the pond. At very little cost to the county or the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the members and everyone else pitched in down there to plant shrubbery and landscape.
Oh, that's great. And now the HOSA property, were you involved in
no,
that? That was the town of Bel Air.
I was out of the park, off the park board when that came about.
Mm-hmm. The county bought that, though.
The county bought it,
that was a Harford County project.
It's not completely developed, I don't think, at the present time.
Mm-hmm. What other parcels were you involved in? And that would have been your work on the Harford County Board of Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
In the middle 60s,
yeah.
64 to 66.
We tried to develop a park on Winter's Run, off Winter's Run Road, and vandalism was so bad we had to close it up down there.
Hmm.
And Eden Mill, we initiated that. Of course, PNR has taken that over now, and
state property,
yeah.
Isn't it? But the
no,
county.
It's county.
It's a county property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I forget. We talked a lot about the little park outside of Bel Air here, the Neal's Head.
Mary O'Denham?
Down below that.
Oh, but that parcel, that's going to be developed, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't think of the name of that now.
It abuts the Route 1 bypass.
Yeah, it goes out to the bypass.
Mm-hmm.
We even had